Matthew chapter 20. And for those of you who are either visiting or actually maybe you've been regular here and you actually haven't got a clue what we've been doing for the last 6 months, well, we have been following a series on prayer. And I'm pleased to say that we have come to the end of the series on prayer, which has lasted since January and taken us all the way through virtually to last Sunday. And today we begin a new series for the summer, which is on the parables. So I want to spend some time now taking one of the parables. Others will take different parables from the Gospel of Matthew over the summer months. And in September, we will then be beginning a series in Colossians. So I'm going to Matthew 20, verses 1 to 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, we went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men also were hired, worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you've made them equal to those who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." May God bless the reading of his word to us. And so you might think that I've chosen this parable this week because it was indeed the budget on Wednesday. And as you can see, we have the basic principle of how to establish the minimum wage here in this parable. It's completely unfair. You might want to retitle this parable, actually, to, as one scholar has said, "The Parable of the Eccentric Employer." Well, who in their right mind pays someone who's only worked 1 hour the same as he pays someone who's done the same job for 12 hours? Actually, you wouldn't stand a chance at all in today's working climate to actually pull this parable off, would you? There would be everyone out on strike. But this story is not about running a business. Actually, this story is very much about the compassion of God the Father. Let's paint a picture, a little bit of background. In Jesus' day, the historian Josephus tells us that there was actually a lot of unemployment. What's changed? And there was no social security to fall back on. And there was certainly no trade union power to protect the worker. So the master of the field really could do what he wanted with his money. And the details of the story are the sort of thing that could easily have happened in any Jewish village at the time of the harvest. The wage of one denarius was quite a generous wage, actually, although I must say I would have think if I got one denarius, it sounds, come on, let's have a bit more. For a full day's unskilled labor, one denarius was a good price. And we see that how the workers readily agreed to that. So we can conclude, therefore, that they knew what they were getting. Up to that point, the story is quite regular. But then we find three surprises. First of all, the employer himself goes down to the job market himself. What's going on there? Secondly, when he pays the labourers off at the end of the day, he gives everyone the same wage. I've already stated that. Thirdly, the reaction of the shop steward, if we could call him that, who says it isn't fair. Let us look at the three surprises. The first surprise in the parable was that the employer himself goes down to the job market. For unskilled labour, it would have been far more usual to send a foreman down to hire the labourers. So who is this guy? Who is this unusual employer? In this parable, Jesus' hearers would have immediately recognised that the employer represents God and that the vineyard represents Israel. And as the vineyard was a well-known motive in the Old Testament for God's people, in other words, Israel, so the labourers who are sent out into the vineyard are the people God calls to be his servants, working for the kingdom of God. So, let's rapidly see all those who belong to Jesus Christ and seek to work in a local church setting or beyond for the Christian kingdom. That is what is being talked about. You are being talked about here. So what is Jesus trying to say about God with the surprise of the employer going down to the job market himself? I think that he's saying that God personally calls each of us to our own ministry, and then he really cares for each one of us, however humble or how great we are. Second surprise in this parable was that when the employer paid the labourers off at the end of the day, he gave everyone the same wage. And obviously those who'd worked longer expected more, wouldn't you? When my boys say, well, I think they say, Dad, I'll wash your car. There is usually a series of bartering moments that go on. I'll give you a quid, I say. Do it for a fiver, Dad. I'll meet you halfway at £2. It's not halfway, of course, but... The only thing in my head, though, is that once, and I won't say who, one of my children, in offering to wash the car, picked up the Brillo pad. That car's now gone. Anyway, back to the story. Obviously, those who worked longer expected more. Yet the workers that had worked 12 hours for the owner of the vineyard had actually undergone a contract. I'm not seeking to be an employer's solicitor at this point, but they had said, one denarius. So why should he have paid more? And it is amazing how people want more as soon as they hear someone has more favourable terms than they have. Don't you just see that in our culture today? I want more. I want more. Why do we want more? The workers who'd worked the full 12 hours would not have been dissatisfied with their pay if, firstly, they'd seen what the other workers had earned, or secondly, if those who'd only worked 1 hour got half of a denarius. Perhaps if we just stop and ponder, there's a deep truth there for us. Jesus is saying that we should be content with what God gives us and not be jealous. If it seems someone is getting a better deal, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes hits the nail on the head when he says in Ecclesiastes 5 to verse 10, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. I've never heard of anyone on their deathbed saying, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. And yet, we often seem to model that. There are many who wish they'd invested more time in their families. Or perhaps even, yes, in God's work. Think about it. And then there's a final surprise. The reaction of the shop steward. I know we can't call him that, but he says very blatantly, it isn't fair. It's just like being at home, isn't it? It isn't fair. And in the world's eyes, it wasn't fair for the labourers who had worked the whole day to get only as much as those who'd worked a full day. Doubtless that they would have taken him to some kind of tribunal hearing at this point, wrestled him to the ground, taken him to court or whatever. If he'd given the last workers, who'd only been able to work 1 hour, 1/12 of a denarius, work it out quickly, anybody, anybody? No, you can't do it, nor can I. They would not have been able to feed themselves and their family that day. And that actually puts a very different complexion on the story, doesn't it? Because actually we're taught in this parable that the way we think is completely the opposite to God's kingdom. Or let's turn it around the other way. God's kingdom is very different to the way that we think in our culture. God isn't interested in paying a few fat cats the top whack. He's not interested in that. He's concerned that all who would follow him have enough for their needs. Not a great job ad, is it? But God's ways are not the ways of the world. There are some points here. Conventional wisdom says that you have to fight to get ahead. But Jesus comes back and says the meek will inherit the earth. Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. Conventional wisdom says make sure you get in there first and devil take the hindmost. Stuff everyone else. But Jesus comes back and says that many who are first will be last. And many who are last shall be first. Matthew chapter 19 verse 30. The kingdom turns our world upside down. Thirdly, conventional wisdom would say that if you want to have an impact on the world, you need the best brains. Those with a steady nerve when the going gets tough, and those with the most influence in your team. Be a go-getter. Go for the top. Jesus turns it around. He calls 12 apostles to be in his team. None of them had a theology degree from Oxford or Cambridge. Four of them were simple fishermen. Who would never have passed any kind of theological or ministerial training graduation certificate. Two of them were terrorists. Think about that. Jesus chooses his team today. He goes and chooses two terrorists. The Zealots were the first century Jewish terrorists. And to really put the cat among the pigeons, the final member of the penultimate member of the team was a tax collector. And finally, of course, another of them was a traitor. Who would you choose for your team? Look at how Jesus chooses his team. Jesus shows us that his kingdom is very different. It's an upside down kingdom. It's a world where if you want to follow and be his laborer, then expect different values and different realities. In God's kingdom, God has different values. He doesn't pay a fair wage, but he's committed to supplying all of his workers' needs. Trust him. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, we know that verse. So easily does it roll off our tongue. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. But hang on, how can we see that working in our lives? Who is going to make the first move? Who will seek the kingdom first? Who will trust God? You see, if we work in God's kingdom, God will provide for what we need. So, as I conclude, here are some deep truths for us to ponder. This parable shows us some deep realities about the kingdom of God. If we're going to work for God, we need to first understand the rules of his kingdom are upside down. Today, the church, wherever it is based, in every town, in every part of the world, seeks to model the upside down kingdom. Firstly, God personally calls each of us to our own ministry and really cares for each one of us. He knows us. However humble or great we are more than numbers on a payroll. Secondly, Jesus is saying that we should be content with what God gives us and not be jealous if it seems someone is getting a better deal. Thirdly, God isn't interested in paying a few fat dogs. I'll just put dogs here and just make a change as opposed to cats. The top whack. He is concerned that all who would have him and follow him have enough for their needs. So look, there is some equality in the rewards given among the servants of God. When it comes to faithfully discharging the task he's given us to do, God is always equal. God is always faithful. And all the laborers worked in the field for as long as the employer has asked them to do, and by being faithful, their reward was the same. So let's finish with Jesus' own words on this matter. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness and all these things that you need will be given to you as well." Trust God. Trust him deeply. Your money is not your own. You have been given that by God. How we choose to use it is not just our own responsibility. It is also a factor which God has to come into. In God's kingdom, he turns all the values around. And you can be assured that God will supply all of your needs. Those of you who are sociologists, you know the difference between needs and wants. You can be assured that God will supply all of your needs as we labor to do what he has called us to do. May God bless us in the journey that we go with him. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to conclude as we sing together.